Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Vascon Engineers Limited Q1 FY25 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participants' lines will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vishal Mehta. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Sejal. Good morning, everyone. I am Vishal Mehta. On behalf of Stellar Investor Relations, welcome you all to Vascon Engineers Limited Q1 FY25 earnings conference call. We shall be sharing the key operating and financial highlights for the first quarter ended June 30, 2024. We have with us today the senior management team of Vascon Engineers Limited, Dr. Santosh Sundarrajan, Group CEO, and Mr. Somnath Biswas, Chief Financial Officer. Before we begin, I would like to state that this call may contain some of the forward-looking statements which are completely based upon the company's belief, opinion, and expectations as of today. The statements made in today's call are not a guarantee of future performance and also involve unforeseen risks and uncertainties. The company also undertakes no obligation to update any forward-looking statement to reflect developments that occur after the statement is made. Documents relating to the company's financial performance, including the investor presentation, have already been uploaded on the stock exchange and the company's website. I now invite Dr. Santosh Sundarrajan to state his opening remarks on the company's performance for the first quarter ended June 30, 2024. Then we will open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good morning, everyone. We are pleased to report a significant growth in our overall revenue, driven primarily by our EPC segment. Despite facing challenges such as the longest period of elections ever conducted in the country and the severe monsoon conditions in several regions, our project executions have proceeded smoothly and efficiently, reflecting a substantial increase in performance. We achieved an impressive 35% year-on-year revenue growth in Q1 FY25. This robust growth underscores our ability to maintain momentum and execute projects effectively. As mentioned earlier, the nature of the bookkeeping treatments in terms of Ind AS requirements means that there can be some timing differences between booking of expenses and booking of revenue in real estate business, which has resulted in decline in profit before tax, along with the tax component as compared to the previous quarter. Looking ahead, our outlook for the EPC segment remains robust, backed by a strong order book of 3,482 crores, which is 4.9 times the FY24 EPC revenue, which reflects a strong foundation for growth and execution. Of this, the order book worth 2,979 crores are attributable to external EPC orders, while the remaining 503 crores are internal projects. About 82% of these orders are from government projects, which not only supports a steady and reliable cash flow but also ensures fast execution timelines. As we move forward, we expect this momentum to continue building in the coming quarters, supported by a healthy and robust order book. In terms of order intake, the company has received new orders from PWD Sindhudurg for the construction of a medical college worth 331.38 crores in this year, FY25, till date. Our bank guarantee limits have increased in the last fiscal and led by our strong balance sheet and financials. With this, we are looking forward to continuing growth in the EPC division. Coming to the real estate segment, the market appears to be promising for us, as most of our projects were completed in the fiscal year 2023, and we intend to launch two new projects in the current fiscal year, with revenue contributions expected in the future quarters. We are optimistic about our business prospects in the coming year. In addition to our core real estate business, we are in the process of forming relationships with AAA-rated realtors in Pune, Mumbai, and Coimbatore, with the goal of establishing a consistent stream of new property and project launches over the next year. In Q1 FY25, we achieved new sales booking totaling 12,244 sq ft, generating a sales value of 7 crores and a total collection of 11 crores. We are very optimistic about the trajectory of our real estate sector. Promising pipeline of upcoming projects gives us confidence that we can sustain and enhance our positive momentum going forward. We are committed to leveraging these opportunities to drive growth and improve our performance going forward. Lastly, coming to the GMP business, GMP continues to deliver improved performance during the quarter, revenue of 79 crores in Q1 FY25, which is up 42% year-on-year, and a healthy gross margin of 26%. The EBITDA was 4 crores, with a 6% EBITDA margin in Q1 FY25. During the fiscal year 2025, the company's board of directors has considered and approved a proposal for divestment of its 100% equity stake, which is an 85% holding in GMB Technical Solutions, to Shinryo Corporation, a Japanese firm, for an aggregate consideration in the range of 155 to 157 crores. As against the company's share of the 155 to 157 crores, post-tax and other allied expenses, we will have a net cash flow in the range of 100 to 110 crores. This fund will be majorly utilized as growth and opportunity capital for real estate and to create assets for the EPC division, which will be collateral for the EPC working capital augmentation. Company is expecting to receive the money by the end of this month. The status of debt. This fiscal year, we've seen our total debt go up because we are involved in new real estate joint ventures. As a result, our net debt has risen to rupees 38 crores over the last year. Even with this increase, we are committed to careful financial management and are focused on sustainable growth and creating value. As I mentioned about the ratings in previous fiscal year as well, I would like to reiterate again that we have a stable credit rating since past 1 year, that is CRISIL BBB plus for long-term facilities and CRISIL A2 for short-term facilities. This upgrade has played a crucial role in negotiating favorable interest rates in the company's favor. We are also hopeful to continue this increase in rating as we go forward this year. Let me take you through some of the key industrial updates. In the recent Union Budget, which outlines a robust framework for infrastructure industry in India, it is focusing on significant capital investments and strategic initiatives aimed at fostering growth and sustainability, where the Government of India has allocated 11.11 lakh crore for infrastructure development, marking 11% increase from the previous year, and it is a clear indication of its commitment to developing the country's core infrastructure. It will drive demand for EPC services across various infrastructure projects. This represents about 3.4% of India's projected GDP for 2024-25, emphasizing the government's commitment to infrastructure spending despite fiscal challenges. The budget emphasizes sustainable infrastructure development with a focus on renewable energy projects, climate-resilient construction practices. This includes a push for low-carbon alternatives in materials like cement and steel, which are significant contributors to the construction emissions. The Indian construction industry is projected to grow at CAGR of 6% from 2024 to 2033, with the market expected to reach approximately 1.39 trillion by 2033. This growth will be fueled by ongoing public sector investments and increased private sector participation. In conclusion, the infrastructure EPC industry in India is poised for significant growth in 2024, driven by government initiatives, increased investment, and a focus on sustainability and digital transformation. These factors collectively create a favorable environment for EPC firms to expand their operations and contribute to India's ambitious infrastructure goals. Coming to the financial performance of the company in Q1 FY25. Let me start with the standalone numbers during Q1 FY25. Company reported a total income of 198 crores as against 152 crores in the corresponding quarter last year, with a growth of 30% year on year. In Q1 FY25, the EBITDA stood at 17 crores as against 15 crores in the corresponding quarter last year, with a growth of 14%. The EBITDA margin was at 9% and net profit of 9 crores in Q1 FY25 as against 11 crores in Q1 FY24. At a consolidated level, the Q1 FY25, the company reported a total income of 278 crores as against 209 crores last year, with a growth of 34% year on year. The EBITDA stood at rupees 22 crore as against 19 crore in the corresponding quarter last year, with a growth of 18%. The EBITDA margin was at 8% and the net profit of 10 crores in FY25 as against 12 crores in FY24. In summary, our strategic initiatives are successfully driving growth with substantial progress made on key projects. A strong order book in EPC business, real estate backlog, and solid financial position strengthen our confidence in achieving our goals. We are enthusiastic about the opportunities before us and are well positioned to capitalize on them through our innovative solutions and dedicated team. As we look ahead, we remain committed to achieving excellence and creating value for all our stakeholders. With this, we can open up the floor for questions and answers. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, We will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Bala from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Thank you so much for taking my question. Sir, my first question is regarding GMP Technical Solutions. What is your revenue and margin for this quarter? And like we are consideration come out with a proposal of divestment for GMP Technical Solutions. Is there any one-time impact expected, any estimation for this divestment? This is my first question.
GMP for the first quarter did a revenue of 79 crores and had an EBITDA of 4.4 crores, which is about 6%. As we mentioned, you know, we are in the process of divesting our stake. We bought the board approval and the EGM approval as well. So it's a matter of time before which we should be having free cash flows of about 110 crores from the sale of our stake in GMP. There's no one-time impact as such. There are, you know, certain, of course, the investment in GMP lies in our books. I think it's upwards of 60 odd crores. And then there are certain cost of sales and certain minor costs will be booked against this income as well. We do expect a profit. We do not know the exact number yet, but in the range of 20 plus crores profit coming from this day.
Got it. So when is the divestment expected to complete, sir?
We are expecting to complete this by the end of this month or maximum first week of September.
Okay, got it, sir. Regarding the new order, around 331 crore order for medical college, so what's the timeline for this execution period and what kind of margins we can expect?
We've taken, as of now, the gross profit margins on this project will be in the range of 13% to 14%. And the timeline, typically, you know, we've seen that, you know, it takes at least 6 months because these are all design and build projects and certain approvals are also pending at site. And even the government takes time to get their approval. So the start of this project, you know, we can expect would not happen in the next 3-4 months. We just got this order last week. So this would take about at least 4 to 5 months to start work at site. So we do not expect significant revenue coming from this project in this fiscal year. But next year we will see traction on this. And ideally it should finish in 24 months once it starts.
Got it, sir. So regarding real estate projects, the pipeline, so we have around 5 projects, around our share around 1,377 crores. So we could share some which quarter, like for example, next 3 quarters, how many projects we are planned to launch?
The first launch that we expect to happen would be both, you know, Powai and the Prakash. The Om Sainath Housing Society at Santa Cruz. Both of these are in an advanced stage of approval, so we expect, you know, before December, we do hope to launch in this Q3, we do hope to launch both these projects. And then the Prakash will be launched mostly, you know, post April only in the next financial year. And which are the other two? So both the other 3 projects will be launched in the next financial year. These 2 projects we expect to launch in Q3, maximum January. So in the next 2 quarters, we expect to launch 2 projects. And then you can expect in Q1 of next year, 1 more project, and Q2 another.
Got it, sir.
So we can say, 1 project per quarter over the next 5 quarters. That should be a reasonable assumption.
Got it, sir. Thank you, sir. I'll come back in.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Apurva Sharma from Bugle Rock. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, you are.
Yeah. So we spoke about forming partnership with A-grade realtors in geographies like Pune, Mumbai, right? So what are the kind of deals that we are looking for in these partnerships and, these developers, the value proposition that we bring to these developers in terms of partnership, as in why would they want to, partner? So that's just my first question, then I have follow-ups.
I don't know. There's some miscommunication.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, because of the humming relationship. I think, yeah, I think
yeah,
there's a
yeah.
little bit of, yeah, fair enough. I mean, we do not intend to form partnerships with other competition. There's no symbiosis that we can look at that way. What we meant, I think, was partnerships with investors and landowners, to launch our project. No, we do not have any intention of partnering, reality players like us. Yeah, I think that's come across in the speech of it.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Okay. No issues. So just wanted clarification. And so in real estate, my next question on residential real estate, in the last few years, we have seen a lot of changes, right? Unorganized developers going out, RERA has come in. So diversion of funds and all has become difficult. So, and a lot of large developers have launched projects like, Godrej, DLF, Oberoi, and all these players, for example, right? So we won't, we are not the EPC business from these players coming in our books. So, any thoughts on that?
You're saying the EPC business from real estate is not coming to our books?
As in, not in that,
Proportion.
I just wanted your thoughts. Yeah, proportion.
No, I agree.
I understand because.
No. So the point is, yes, you're right. See, the last 3-4 years, it has taken us 4 years to push EPC, third-party EPC, to a stage where now it is sort of on, auto control growing steadily year on year. The real estate, we've started pushing it over the last couple of years. Real estate is also a bit capital intensive. So we've cleared all our past legacies, all our debt, come to a comfortable position, and we are now, it's only in the last 1.5-2 years that we have really started focusing energies, overhead, and capital on real estate. And we expect to definitely increase our real estate. I mean, we are at an extremely low number in terms of execution at this point of time in real estate. There is no denying that. And it is way below where we want to be punching. We should be definitely increasing this, exponentially over the next 3-4 years. So, for example, we have 5 projects which I just spoke about, totaling to 1,400 crore of our revenue, which are to be launched in the next 5 quarters, right? So even if we manage to finish only these 5 projects, and then we have another 300 crores from existing projects that we are executing to be coming to our books. So this 1,400 plus 300, 1,700 crores, even if I take nothing else, I don't line up any other project, and even if I just execute these over the next 4 years, we are still talking of 400, 500 crore on an average, which we are not, as of now, delivering. We are only delivering 100, 150, sub 200 numbers over the last 3-4 years. So also the problem is also Ind AS recognition, which means that these 5 projects that we launched will again still not come as revenue to our books over the next 2 years. And the third year, fourth year, they will suddenly, reflect as big revenue. So, but all said and done, nothing, the focus would be on sales and collections. Revenue will follow as per the rules.
Okay. And Kalyani Nagar project, what is the update and by when can we launch it officially?
Yeah, Kalyani Nagar is another big project we have in hand. We are not in a position to give an exact date of launch because, we are still trying to see what best we should develop there. If we can get a single build-to-suit developer who is willing to pay upfront for the land in a way, because the landowner is hoping to receive some upfront payments. And we are not in a position today to extend and, put our capital on one project and give him an upfront, not the entire amount, but he's expecting a significant upfront payment. And we do not want to be doing that out of our cash flows, because we feel we would rather spread our risks and do more projects with our own, capital. So that's where it is. So there are two ways out. One is, of course, we're working on various options. One is we're trying to look for a build-to-suit project facility, commercial or hospital or something, in which case the end user would then extend the cash flow needed upfront. and we could work out a deal. And if that doesn't happen, then yes, we will then bring in an investor and see how to launch that project and do residential. It is a very prime project. It's going to be a big top line and bottom line for us going forward. But we do not want to commit a date, so therefore we are not showing it as part of the project that's to be launched soon.
Okay. And just post the sale of that business unit, you know, will we still be going for equity raise post cash flow coming in? Or?
We will. So actually, you know, I mean, both these, we were working on both these deals, both these aspects together, the QIP and the GMP sale. Both have been, you know, GMP in fact started earlier and then they were going parallelly. This quarter, finally, the GMP sale caught momentum. So, you know, all of us have been focused on that post elections and we've got that through. The QIP, we've got our board approval, we've got the shareholder approval, we still have a few more months, I think 6 odd months left to finish the QIP with the approvals that we already have. So I think we will set our mind to it. You know, we do expect to raise that also. We do not want to be cancelling it or postponing it and now that GMP has happened, because we were always looking to do both so that we can, you know, be comfortable and, you know, launch. We have the existing projects we are talking about, but we do intend in the next 6-8 months to line up a couple of more real estate projects as well. So some capital to launch these projects would always be welcome.
Okay, so that will be going for new projects, the QIP additional, which we have some visibility. Is that it?
Yeah, I'll let you expand the strategy brand.
Just to interrupt, on this also I had just two things combined. Our total debt, excluding our GMP, has gone up. And you have mentioned it in the opening remarks also, right?
Yeah.
So in the last 15 months. So can you also give idea where this capital has been deployed and where this new equity also will be? So just two questions combined.
So I'll explain you the strategy behind this QIP and GMP. So if you look at that, we are talking about 5 projects on the pipeline, out of which 3 is a Bombay, 2 is redevelopment in Santa Cruz, and 1 in Pawai. So these 3 projects which we are talking, that is at the heart of the launch. So 1 Santa Cruz and Pawai, probably it will be Q2 and then maybe Q4, that's another Santa Cruz one. These 3 projects, which is almost at the different level of approval, it's almost 170 crore kind of capital infusion is required, out of which 70 we have infused earlier and 100 was supposed to be mitigated from QIP. And that QIP is specific for these 3 projects, and apart from that, whatever the sale of GMP, that is meant for the, you need some kind of capital infusion in Banner Person League Road in coming days also. And there are, we also want to retain some kind of growth capital in the system. So that once when you have a good opportunity to invest, then you should not struck up with the capital aspect and all these things. So that is the strategy. The QIP is for the 3 projects in Mumbai, and the GMP is for growth capital and as well as some kind of fund infusion for Banner Person in coming days. So that is the way the GMP has been planned. And what happened in the meantime, since the QIP, since we, our focus was last 2-3 months, our bandwidth and focus and entirely gone into the GMP closer and all these things. In between, certain project costs was required to be infused in that Hawaii and Santa Cruz project to mitigate that thing, so as to avoid not any further delay in the launch and all this thing. We took some short-term bridge capital, which infused in this Santa Cruz project. So that's how our debt has been raised by almost close to 40 crores. That is the strata. So that we intend to go for the launch as per schedule. We don't want to delay that thing in view of the slight bit of time gap in QIP and GMP transaction.
Okay. And one last question. Any new launches in FY25 and out of the pipeline, have you got any RERA number for them?
No, we are about to apply the RERA for both Pawai and Om Sainath project. Because most of the approval, project approval, including ID and all these things we receive. So probably by August end or September start, we are planning to go for the RERA approval for these 2 projects. Prakash, we are executing the development agreement with the society in the month of August only. And post that, we'll go for the another approval. So Prakash, RERA approval will be at the end of year, start of the new financial year kind of things.
Okay. Thank you. Those are my questions. Thank you for the detailed reply.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Madhur Rathi from Counter Cyclic Investments. Please go ahead.
Sir, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I wanted to understand.
Sorry to interrupt you, sir. May I request you to please use your handset?
Yeah, sure. Is it better right now?
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, I wanted to understand, sir, we have guided that the price quotient EBITDA margin is sustainable in our EPC business. But when I look at our previous 8 to 10 quarters, sir, we have exceeded this number by like an average would be around 14.5% over the next 8 to 12 previous quarters. Sir, so why are we guiding low? Is this because the newer projects that are coming in our order book are at the lower margins and the previous projects were at higher margin or anything else? And similarly, sir, you said that the new medical college project, we are expecting a 13-14% of a gross margin. So that comes to even lower operating margin. So, sir, if you could help me understand this discrepancy.
I will have to check why. See, in general, maybe you're looking at our standalone numbers over the last few quarters. And standalone numbers keep swinging up and down because real estate component also gets added. And real estate EBITDAs are definitely higher than EPC EBITDAs, but they come in certain quarters and they do not come in certain quarters. For example, this quarter, our margins are low, EBITDA and PBT, is because real estate has not contributed anything to the bottom line in this quarter, whereas certain costs have been coming to the P&L. So I think you are comparing standalone EBITDA to what we are giving guidance on EPC EBITDA. I will reiterate that, you know, all our gross profit on an average in EPC will be in the range of 15%, 14-15%. And this will not translate to 13-14 EBITDA. It will translate to about 7-12. And we expect our PBT in EPC currently is at around 8, stretching towards 9. And our focus is to get the EPC PBT towards, you know, between 9 and 10 in the next year. That has always been our guidance, and that is where we are, as an EPC division, we are moving towards. I think the confusion is because, you know, real estate gets added on to the standalone.
No, sir, if I look at the segmental EBITDA, segmental EBIT is coming at 15.5% for this quarter, and similar numbers for the previous quarters. So, and we are guiding a 12%, now 11-12% kind of EBITDA for the going forward project. So, I'm trying to understand why is this so different. Are the newer projects coming at a lower margin, or is there something else?
So, honestly, at this point, we have still stuck to 15%. I've always been saying that, you know, as we go ahead and have higher targets of revenue, we might be forced to compromise one or two basis points in the gross profit, which as, until now we have been quite sticky that we will not go below 15. You're right. I didn't mention Sindhudurg is in the range of, you know, 14 rather than 15. So we have taken Sindhudurg at 1% lower than what we would have ideally wanted to, but we hope to cover it up because it's a design and build project. So as we execute, we hope to, you know, ensure we cross 15 on that. So it's a calculated risk we have taken there, since it's an EPC mode and we are confident we will cover it up. You know, so far we are not taking projects at lower margin yet. Not yet.
So can we expect this 12-13% EBITDA margin in the EPC segment to continue going forward?
Yes, it is 11% this quarter. And yeah, it should be in the range of 11-12%.
If you look at last year number also, if you look at the last year annual number also, our EBITDA was in the range of 10%. And which if you do the peer analysis also, which is in the range of 10-11%. Sometimes it is one project maybe 13-14%, sometimes it is 15% plus. So average, on an average, it will maintain 10-11% kind of EBITDA. And the GOP will be in the range of 15%. So that is the target we are having all the time. And it is consistent over last couple of years also, if you look at the numbers. Last 5-6 quarters, if you look at plus minus 1% ups and down, but on an average, it is in the range of 10-11% kind of thing.
Also, at this point of time, we do not have much depreciation. That number might increase as we acquire new assets going forward.
and interest on the EPC division is also, you know, not too high. So what happens is the gap between EBITDA and PBT is not much. So if we touch 11 EBITDA, we end up at, you know, 9 PBT typically. And this is where we are, and we hope to be over the next few quarters.
Okay, sir. And when I was looking at our real estate business, so what kind of EBITDA margin are you expecting on the stream? As well as, sir, what is the revenue that we can recognize for FY 2025? Because as I can see from your presentation, it around 530, around 350 crore has been recognized. So, sir, what is the remaining revenue that we can recognize in this year?
See, earlier also you have explained that over the next five years, almost 1,800 crore, 1,700-1,800 crore real estate revenue to be recognized. But if you understand that, you are aware that real estate revenue is completely based upon the completion of the project method. So with that assumption, we are expecting it cannot be linear that 1,700 or 1,800 divided by five kind of things. But what we are expecting this year, probably we are getting some kind of completion happening by Q4 and expected to get in the range of 125 kind of crore kind of revenue to be booked in the system. But once again, it depends upon how the approval and close that completion gets done. Irrespective of our execution capability, there are government also, the appropriate authority also have to give the completion certificate. So all the liaison, not only execution, we have to do the liaisoning and everything. But still, we expect around 125 crore kind of revenue to be booked, likely to be booked in this FY 2024-25 for the real estate segment.
Okay, sir. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
The next question is from the line of Shreyansh Mehta from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity. So, sir, my first question is pertaining to, you know, your slide number 8. So just trying to reconcile the FY 2024 numbers where, you know, we are showing that segmental revenues is closer to 303, and the FY 2024 standalone is 763. So I do understand, you know, some portion would be because of the consolidation. So if you can help me reconcile these numbers.
Yes, you're right. See, fortunately for us, I think the sale of GMP is also happening at the correct year when our EPC is expected to, you know, significantly improve compared to the previous year. So while we did, you know, 760 of standalone last year, and with GMP contributing close to 300, we crossed 1,000 crore mark. And this year, GMP will not be adding to our revenue, but we still hope to match last year's consolidated revenue. I mean, consolidated will be standalone going forward. So we still hope to cross the 1,000 crore mark, in fact, touch the 1,100 crore mark this year, with EPC and real estate alone, without GMP, because we expect a, you know, good, 30%-40% growth in the EPC division this year.
Got it. No, no, sir, my question is, you know, that even if I look at the FY 2024 numbers, including GMP, we are at, say, closer to 303 odd crores. Whereas FY 2024, on a standalone basis, we are showing 763.40. So, I mean, just trying to understand the gap of 763 and 300 odd, the 400 crores gap.
If you are talking about Q1,
He's comparing.
So you are talking about Q1 2025, that you are referring to the slide number 7, I do believe. Slide number 17, FY 2024, talks about that full financial year 2023-24. That is the annual number of FY 2023-24, which talks about standalone number is 763 crore. But this slide number talks about FY 2024, the Q1 of the 2024-25.
Yeah, I think there is a mistake in reporting over. It should be Q1. The 303 is Q1 consolidated.
Okay, okay.
Q1 is the report of Q1 2025, Q1 2024, as well as the financial year 2023-24. That's the full picture.
Got it. Got it. So just for my clarification, when you're talking about standalone, so earlier it was we are reporting EPC plus GMP plus some portion of real estate. Is the understanding right?
Standalone talks about only EPC and real estate. So if you refer to the slide number 77, you are talking about that 763 crore or whatever, that's 195 crore for Q1 2025. This talks about that only the
Standalone.
Standalone, which consists of EPC and real estate. And if you go to the right part of this thing, that talks about the 275 for Q1 and 204 for consolidated, that includes the GMP also.
Got it, got it. And when we say, you know, I mean, again, just for clarification, now in console, we'll be having the EPC plus the sales of real estate, right?
Correct.
And
there is also sale of GMP investment and EPC and real estate, whatever the number are coming up.
Got it, got it. And standalone would be primarily EPC of what we do for third party plus the EPC of the real estate.
That is not the EPC of the real estate. EPC of the real estate is not getting recognized in that book, but whatever the real estate revenue is coming from the sale of that.
No, so going forward, I mean, it's very simple. Going forward, from here on, we do not have anything, no difference between consolidation and standalone as of now. It will all be the same because GMP will be gone. And
right.
So real estate plus EPC, we are currently reporting that as standalone. Going forward, that will be standalone and console, same.
Got it, got it. So I'll take this offline. So my second question is pertaining, you know, again towards the QIP. So I do understand, you know, probably we are looking at launching closer to 5 odd projects this year. So, and you know, if you see large part is under JV-JDA. And, you know, the thumb rule generally is closer to 10-15%, which might go towards construction. And that, you know, would be largely funded from the collection. So generally what we've seen in real estate, large part of the funding is done from the collections itself. So just trying to understand the purpose of the QIP.
So, see, that's a, there is a anomaly here. We keep saying, you know, that real estate is, we are doing glorified EPC in the sense that we are doing JD, JB, and therefore it is less capital intensive from our side. But
the
issue is that what comes to the table from the landowner is purely land with its inherent FSI, which is, you know, 1.25 or 1.5 sometimes. That is what the landowner brings to the table as his contribution to equity. Now, in most locations, we are doing Santa Cruz, which is, you know, on a good road, prime location, or even in Pune. We are now, the FSI rules have changed, and that's why, you know, redevelopment is becoming viable in the first place. But the additional FSI has to be either purchased in the form of TDR or premium FSI that has to be paid to the corporation.
Right. And
therefore, there is still capital required before we are in a position to launch a project.
Got it. Got it. Yeah. So, even assuming that, you know, that, say, for example, approvals and all that cost, that, you know, would max out at 15-20% of the 1300 or 1400 odd crore, which is roughly
correct.
Coming to, say, 200-250 odd crore or 280 odd crore at max.
Fair enough, correct.
And of that, you know, we are anyway getting 150-160 odd crores of cash flows from the sale of our GMP business.
So we will get about 100 to 110 free cash flow. And,
okay.
So we also, so there are a few aspects since, you know, so one is the launch of these real estate projects, which as Somnath pointed out, you know, we needed about 170 odd crores, out of which we have from our own approvals already put in about 60, 70. We have borrowed temporarily a little bit more, but which we intend to return once cash flows from GMP and QIP are available. That is one usage of funds, which is the real estate for the 5 launches that we talk about. Second usage of funds is we are also in the process of, you know, trying to accumulate and aggregate the 20 to 25 acres in our Thane land, which is road touching. You know, out of the big parcel that we have started the process to try and get a continuous 25 acre parcel, which requires us to, you know, invest a little bit of money to buy a few small parcels. So we thought, you know, we should be going ahead and making a start there somewhere. And so that is the second usage of funds. And the third is that we also have an EPC division, which is again not capital intensive. However, to accelerate growth a bit, instead of waiting for accrued profits, which, you know, the cash flows take more than a year to come to us, we felt that if we can create some collateral using these cash flows that are coming to us, we can then pledge those collaterals and increase our BG limit faster. And we can then, you know, try and accelerate growth on the EPC a bit more than going very organically. So these are the three regions where we would intend to use both the QIP plus the GMP. And that's why we do not intend to stop the QIP process. You know, we have avenues to grow. We have Thane. We have enough avenues to grow in real estate EPC and Thane extended real estate. So I think funds are welcome at this stage, especially equity funds.
Sure.
Fair point. Sure.
Yeah.
Sir, third is primarily, you know, to do with our Thane land parcel. So as you said, you know, we also would be aggregating more land because, you know, it's not a continuous land parcel. So where, at what stage, you know, because what I heard is, or we are hearing is, it's, you know, some highway project is also going through that. So probably in case if that goes for, so at what stage is the Thane land parcel?
See, in Thane, we have 150 acres in an SPV in which we own 45% stake. Right. Now, we are working with our partners in that SPV. Out of this 150 acres, about 30 to 40 acres is come under the corridor, express corridor that the government has, put up their DP plans for. Now, that is story number one happening on that land, which we do not know exactly when the government will come and acquire it. We expect a lot of traction to move if there is stability post the election. Obviously, nothing is going to happen in the next 3-4 months in Maharashtra, but post election, if there is a sense of stability and, you know, that project will get taken off, so maybe 6-8 months later, we are hopeful that, you know, they move on it fast and then that acquisition will happen and we will get those cash flows in the next year. Parallelly, we are working on another 25-acre parcel which is touching the main road, which is not the one that is going to be acquired by the government. And on this 25-acre parcel, I think we hardly need to acquire about, you know, 3-4 acres and then do a little bit of leveling and do a little bit of compounding, a road that has to get connected to the main road, a little bit of infrastructure work, so that we make this 25 acres ready to develop in the next, a year or so. So this also requires a bit of investment to do the infra as well as to purchase a few parcels of land there. So this is the two things we are working on.
Got it. Sure. So, sir, and just for clarification, when you're talking about the authority, is it the national highway or it would be some local authority which you're looking for it?
I am not sure under which authority it comes, but it's a express corridor, so it would have to be NHAI.
Got it. Sure. Sir, and lastly, you know, pertaining to the overall, what is the overall guidance we are looking at from, say, EPC plus real estate over next, say, 1 or 2 years?
The EPC will cross the 1,000 crore mark this year. Again, it's a guidance. I mean, fingers crossed, we are on track to do that. We hope to do that. And going forward, we want to ensure that EPC grows at, you know, at least 25% year on year. So 1250 next year, upwards of 1500 the year after that. That's the top line target. As far as the bottom lines are concerned, we said last year we were at, you know, 8 odd PBT. We want to stretch that to 9, close to 9 this year, and then stretch it close to 10 over the next 2 years as our top line increases. So some scale will help us, you know, although our gross profit margins are not going to go up. Competition is very intense, so we do not expect to get projects at much higher margins. But with scale, our overhead component would reduce, and so we hope to pull the PBT towards 10 over the next 2 years. That is the guidance for EPC. Real estate, again, we have about 1,700 crores of unrecognized revenue, 1,400 coming from 5 projects which we haven't yet launched, which we intend to launch in the next 5 quarters, and about 300 coming from projects which are underway already. These 1,700 crores should come in the next 4 years to our books. However, in the next 2 years, we do not see significant completions because these projects are going to get launched only now. So in the next 2 years, it's not going to be proportionate. It's not going to be a straight line method. We will see a significant proportion of this 1700 crore recognition coming in the next, in the third year and fourth year from now. And in terms of profitability, at gross profit levels, our EPC book exactly doubles the expectation of profits from our real estate book looks exactly double of our EPC books in terms of gross profits in the range of 28% to 30%. And with scale, that will translate to, you know, easily 15-18% PBT levels.
Got it. Sure. And so this, I mean, in terms of real estate, one clarification. So 1700, which is the unrecognized, that is from the new projects, right? Which we intend to launch.
1400 is from new projects which we intend to launch, and 300 is unrecognized revenue from projects which are already launched.
Got it. And what would be the broad margins of that 300 odd crores?
As I said, you see, the gross margins is all in the range of 28-30%. What happens is,
quarter on quarter, it's very difficult because when the revenue is low in a particular quarter, the costs, the overhead costs of real estate are linear. They are hitting us every quarter.
Right.
So when the revenue is low, then the margins look low. In a particular quarter, if we have a completion and the revenue is high, the margin will look higher. But from a sales, cash flow and costing point of view, we are at 28 to 30% gross margins on this entire 1700 crore.
Got it. Sir, and the last question, if I may, I just wanted to check, you know, what is the mobilization advance we get against this EPC order book? And are this interest bearing?
So most government projects today have interest bearing advances. Some private projects do offer zero interest advance against bank guarantees. Every now and then, some government project also offers zero interest, but by and large, government projects are expecting, are offering advance with interest only. So we take a call case to case. You know, sometimes, I mean, it's a strategy. If there is a good advance available interest-free against BG, then we draw down upon that and use that to, you know, kickstart two or three projects. We do not draw down upon all the advances available to us because sometimes it's expensive. If you're going to pay 10% interest plus the cost of BGs, then sometimes it works out very expensive. And these advances that we need to launch a project are typically short-term. Within the first 3-4 bills, we are able to, you know, pay off and kickstart the project. They are small amounts, you know, 10 to 15 crores needed to just kick off the project. So sometimes it makes better sense to even borrow at 11-12% short-term borrowing from somewhere and pay it off within 6 months, where the collaterals are less, the BGs are not required, BG limits are not stuck. So the process of, you know, funding EPC projects is, strategies are many. Whatever makes sense, whatever is available to us at that point of time.
Sure. And sir, what is the number outstanding right now in terms of mob advance?
Mob advance? About 60 crores.
60 crores.
Yes.
Sure. Okay, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tushar from Desperado Advisory. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. I'm Tushar from Desperado Advisory. I just want to ask, can you provide an update on the current in total order book size and the expected order intake for the upcoming quarters? How does the mix between government and private sectors projects look moving forward?
The three questions. In terms of order book, we are currently at 3,400 crores. We have bagged only about, including internal orders, not more than 500 crores in YTD. Part of it was because, of course, the elections happened and the first quarter was not really, available for order booking. So going forward, we expect to book at least 1,000 more crores as a target before March 2025. So that we can continue our growth story of, 25% on EPC as we have set a target for ourselves. In terms of the mix, in terms of ticket size, in the government, as we progress, our ticket size that we qualify for continues to increase. We are in the process of almost finishing the Raipur Chhattisgarh project, which will give us a single certificate of upwards of 500 crores, which therefore will enable us to, start bidding for projects upwards of 700 crores going forward. So currently our ticket sizes have been in the range of 400 to 500. We hope as we go forward, we can start bagging projects in the range of 600 to 800. As you go up this chain, the competition reduces, the possibility of, protecting your margins increase. So we are hopeful to take one step up this ladder every year. We are now targeting to see if we can take a project beyond more than 600 crores. Our Supol project was 600 crores. We now this year hopefully can bag a project bigger than that. And government-private mix, we are currently at 80 government. We would like to hopefully be at, 70 government, 30 private, or 65 government, 30-35 private. We do want to have private exposure. We do not want to be exposed only to government. We are working on that. We did take Capgemini as a good order last year. We are hopeful to, take some private orders as well.
Okay. With majority comprising with government projects, are there any significant risks related to funding delays or political changes that could impact the execution timeline?
See, political risks always exist. I do not want to brush that off as a zero chance. However, what we have done at our side is to be as careful as possible by doing a few things in our diligence when we take a project. Point number one, you will notice we're taking a lot of hospital projects which are not in, you know, prime location in terms of a big city. What happens is these projects are generally not in the radar of politicians. The fund is allocated by the department. Since they are healthcare projects, there is very little risk of them being, you know, stalled or cancelled if there is any political change in the state. So that has been our strategy so far. Do not be in the limelight in a big city. And the second thing we also do is when, you know, elections are due, for the last 12 to 15 months, 18 months, we do not bag any order in that state, because that is a time where, you know, people are busy with elections, and then there are risks. The project has not taken off. If a project has already taken off, the risks are very less if there is a political change in between. If the project is at a nascent stage, then there are risks. So we try to avoid to be in that situation where we are only 5-10% into a project and elections are due. So we try to stagger that.
Okay. Sir, given the recent strong your order inflow, how confident are you in your ability to execute these projects on time?
We are quite confident because the only biggest impediment to executing projects on time in India, of course, one is availability of cash flows, which so far so good. It's a client's responsibility, so that is one thing that could pull you back. And the only other thing in our industry that is pulling us back is the availability of labor, which is shrinking regularly. And so, therefore, to counter that, you know, we are focusing 70% of our projects on design and build DPC mode. Now, when design is in our hands, what we are able to then do is, you know, take certain calls on the drawing board to make the designs easier for more labor efficient. So therefore, we are able to increase, you know, 15-20% of our efficiency in terms of labor consumption on the at the drawing level. And this helps us execute our projects on time. If the drawings are not in your favor, if it's a very labor intensive, tedious design, yes, we struggle to mobilize enough labor to finish the project. But having said that, we have factored in, you know, if labor was available at 100%, we would have finished all these projects in 12 to 15 months. The reason we talk about 24 months is because we are already aware that our monthly rate of execution is going to be suboptimal because of the labor issue.
Okay. Sir, in the last conference calls, you mentioned that revenue from the real estate segment was subdued last year. With the new projects launches in Santa Cruz, Powai, how do you see these contributing to revenue in financial year 25?
Nothing, because these projects will only be launched in the next few months and we can only recognize their revenues when they get completed. And these are single buildings, so we will not be in a position to, you know, part recognize or take certain part completions or anything. We would have to finish the project and then recognize the revenue. So from these new projects of, you know, aggregating to 1400 crores our share, we do not see any revenue recognition coming in the next financial year.
Okay. Okay, thank you, sir. I'm done with the questions.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dipesh from Manya Finance. Please go ahead.
Yeah, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Yeah. Firstly, I want to know, are we doing any, apart from Santa Cruz, have we planned or have we bid for any other redevelopment projects in Mumbai?
In Santa Cruz, we have two. Other than that, as of now, no, we are in talks with some societies, but we are also now currently focusing to, you know, launch these two. And then we think our brand name and ability to get these projects on better terms will increase once we have two projects to showcase that we have already launched and started construction on. So the focus currently is to launch Powai, Om Sainath, and then Prakash. So the team is pretty much focused on that. Our development you know, business development team is in talking to certain societies, but if the deal, you know, we're not in a hurry or in a desperate mode to close any of those deals. If it is really in our favor, we will look at it.
Also, I wanted to know, like, what is, according to you, what is the right way of for investors to look at your financials? Because quarter on quarter, should it be quarter on quarter or should it be year on year?
So I would, you know, suggest that you should look at us as two companies, and that's why beyond the balance sheet and P&L, we give a segmental reporting. We've been giving it for three segments, EPC, real estate, and GMP. Going forward, GMP will be out, but we will continue to give a segmental reporting of EPC and real estate. EPC, you should definitely look at it quarter on quarter. It's quite linear in terms of the growth we are able to project in terms of the PBT and EBITDA margins. It remains very predictable and linear. And so, you know, whatever we commit as projections, you can very easily track whether we are achieving that or how far we are lagging or are we exceeding. On the real estate, I would suggest that we focus on sales and cash flows, because the recognition will come in due course of time. But if we can, you know, focus on quarter on quarter sales and cash flows going forward, that will give a much better understanding of where we are heading to in the future.
Okay. And how many cases are pending, which the company has done for its payment? Or is there any pending cases where we might have to pay something? Can we, share a list as a press release or something, which will help us, know if there is any payment, which huge payment which is coming or going maybe.
We do put up our legal. See, eventually, if you look at our financial report, there are the description of the legal cases, which is a very standard and all this thing. We don't envisage any that kind of payment or something is coming up in the system. It is a normal routine kind of measure. So it is a part of the contingency liability. Something is being booked, but in practicality, there is not as such any significant materiality on beyond these cases.
There are no significant. You are saying that there are no significant cases which are there which will have any big financial liability of the company.
Correct.
Nothing.
Nothing as of now. Okay. And the promoter holding is approximately 31%, which has been for all these years. Is the promoter okay with it, or are we in future planning to increase the shareholding?
No. So we do not. We do not want to hold that as a criteria, because you understand a promoter was never close to a majority holder in the company. It started off as a 20-25% stakeholder. It came down to below 20. Then he went up towards 35. Now he's gotten diluted to about 31, as you said. See, when the company needs capital to grow, and if it has to come from beyond the promoter, and if it means there is a plus minus some dilution to the promoter stake, I think we as a firm are ready to face that, because I think the company is a bit more important than the exact ratio of the promoter holding in the company. There are moments where he is in a position to also participate in fundraisers. There are times, this is the only asset that the promoter family also has. So there are times where he is not in a position to raise capital at an individual level to participate. So we have kept the two separate. The company's growth is paramount. If the percentage participation from the promoter remains intact, great. If not, it's all right.
Thank you. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Santosh Sundarajan for closing comments.
Yeah, thanks everyone for participating, and I will see you all again next quarter. Thank you.
On behalf of Vascon Engineers Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.